Conscious Business, evolving the world of enterprise. In this first episode, we introduce the Conscious Business Show and preview what's to come with special guest Mark Wilding, founder of the MARPA Center for Business and Economics. We explore how consciousness emerges out of the sea of our own enterprises. Join the dialogue on ReframeAmerica.com. And now prepare to be transformed. Welcome to the Conscious Business Dialogue with Theo Haresh, myself, and Duff McDuffie.
Hello, everybody.
And Mark Wilding.
Good afternoon.
He's our special guest today. Just a little bit about the show before we introduce Mark. Conscious Business Dialogues are an ongoing series. This is the first one of the ongoing series. We'll be exploring conscious business movement itself, the nature of what a conscious business is, all the many trends in conscious businesses, from social and environmental responsibility, the personal development trends, the innovations in social organization, the place of business in society, and the place of the individual in the business itself.
And one thing we'll be doing that's unique to this show, as opposed to shows you may have heard or seen in the past, is we'll be interviewing special guests, but we'll also be engaging in real dialogue where all of us are attempting to learn something new. Imagine that in media. We're trying to really explore what is the cutting edge of this. What are conscious businesses? What's the movement like?
Excellent. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Duff.
I am a philosopher and a life coach, amateur philosopher. I've also been involved in a lot of conscious business startups here in Boulder. So I've seen what can go wrong and what can go right in organizations that are trying to make a difference. How about yourself?
Well, myself, I'm just an amateur human being, social entrepreneur. I've been a part of a number of startups, a number of organizations, started a number of activist organizations onto the nonprofit field, moving into cooperative business and on into leadership coaching, which is something I'm really focused on in my life now as well. Bit of a philosopher, a polymath, studied multiple different subjects intensively, and explore the contours of whatever subject matter I'm delving into, and this time it's conscious business here. And today we are here with Mark Wilding, a founder, co-founder, and former president of a software company. He's been teaching graduate classes at Naropa for the past several years, and most recently founded the MARPA Center for Business and Economics. Welcome to our show, Mark.
Nice to be here with you guys.
Good to be here with you.
Yeah, excellent to be here with you. I wonder if you can tell us a bit about the MARPA Center, for starters.
The MARPA Center was started about 6 years ago. We decided to see what we could do to apply the principles that are inherent in Naropa's educational philosophy and apply those to business and education and see how that might apply to people trying to move into the cutting edge in organizational theory and also economics. Maybe ask questions about economics and businesses that are not being asked in other circles. And to date, we've been running mostly programs on leadership, also some programs on money and values. We're sort of exploring the edge of where Naropa's approach to what I would call transformative learning, how that can apply to leadership and those kinds of topics.
I'm curious what some of those cutting-edge questions you've been exploring in the MARPA Center are.
One of the main ones for me is this notion of why is it that as individuals develop organizations, like, you know, I've started a few, how over time those organizations almost take a life of their own on and start to actually suppress the very values and principles that were put in place when those organizations were founded. So that's a fascinating question for me.
Yeah, that's really exciting and leads to a lot of interesting questions in conscious business.
And I think another question for me right at the moment is, I like to think of myself as an academic entrepreneur, but that may be a contradiction in terms because of how academia functions and the way entrepreneurship functions. And so that's a living question for me, whether that can actually be done.
Well, maybe that's a living question for us as well, in a sense we're entrepreneurs in exploring this new program on conscious business. Those who can't do teach, those who can't teach have netcast radio programs. It's really interesting what you're talking about with the individual becoming lost in the institution. And a conscious business, being able to provide a context in which the individual can not only shine, can not only be themselves, but can grow and learn and develop.
Well, yeah, it's an interesting compromise because on the one hand, when people come together and form organizations, they have to give up some part of their individual journey in order to cooperate and collaborate. So there's an inherent sort of sacrificing of my individual needs and desires to serve something greater than myself. But it does seem at some point or another sort of bureaucratic drift, you know, it's almost like evolutionary drift, where the organization's rules and regulations in an attempt to manage that individual journey start to actually squash the creativity and passion of those people that are involved in it.
Hmm. Yeah, very interesting. So that leads me to just kick off a question that we have been talking about a little bit here around conscious business. Just what is a conscious business? Do you want to give a definition or a perspective, Mark?
Well, it seems to me that one of the interesting things about human beings is that they have this tendency to create something and then forget that they've created it and then do battle with it as if it has already existed and then throw up their hands and say, well, you know, I'm sorry, I can't change the system. That's the way it is. And that's the way it is with economics and in some ways with organizations too. And so the whole idea of conscious business in my mind is to reawaken the awareness that we can actually become aware of what are the impacts that my business is having on the world, what are the impacts my organization is having on the people who work here, and do something about it and put changes in place to become more conscious about those intentions.
The individual at battle with their creation reminds me much of the Buddhist battling their ego, or any of us battling our egos, and we realize this is something we've created and there's much flexibility there, or God battling his creation. In the Old Testament.
You know, a word that we use in authentic leadership in the MARPA Center is this idea of responsibility. And it comes to us by way of Fred Kaufman, who has taught at the MARPA Center and worked with Peter Senge at MIT. And one of the principles of responsibility is in the word itself, response able, able to respond. You know, I think we often confuse responsibility with blame, and that sort of clouds the whole issue. Really, what we're talking about is choosing to understand that we do have choices and make those choices consciously, as opposed to saying, I'm sorry, I'd like to do something here, but you know, I can't. I mean, one of the favorite expressions is, hey, I'm sorry I'm screwing you here, but it's just business. You know, what an expression. You know, like I leave my values at home when I go to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's something that really interests me about conscious business coming from a life coach perspective. I'm just really fascinated and interested by why change occurs. How can we make change occur on the personal level, on the organizational level? And why does change not occur? And oftentimes it doesn't occur because we don't take responsibility, or we don't think that we have the ability to respond to our environment, that it's just forced upon us, or that we're just doing as we're told. And that's a really dangerous perspective, or a really dangerous frame to be stuck in.
You know, Duff, one question I have is that there's a payoff there, right? What's mm-hmm. the payoff for not taking responsibility?
Well, it could be a lot of different things. It could be safety and security. It's dangerous past those walls of my boundaries or my doing what I'm told. I mean, all sorts of different reasons.
This is great because I'm continually thinking of the business itself taking responsibility. So you have the individual taking responsibility for their own lives in the business, taking responsibility for their own area of concern. You have small groups and teams in the business taking responsibility, but also the business itself taking responsibility for its role in society, for mm-hmm. the power that it has to transform society for good or ill.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. In fact, maybe that's what conscious business is about. It's about being conscious of the individuals who participate in that organization, but also conscious of the society that that organization is impacting and part of. So in some ways, the consciousness goes in both directions. It goes inside towards the individuals, but then also outward to the society.
Yeah, so in a sense, what you speak of is part of an evolutionary trend in business, perhaps.
You know, this is funny because in a way, I think of my grandfather a lot in this kind of context. And not that he was a big business person, because he wasn't. You know, he was a handyman and he worked as a chemical engineer. And you know, but just the idea of the principle of our grandfathers and grandmothers who may have had fairly conscious businesses, but in some ways maybe society didn't honor those small little conscious businesses. And what we got to read about was the mega corporation, and it was all based around this idea of being bigger is better and so forth. But I'll bet you that there's always been, since the beginning of time, human beings that had conscious livelihood. You know, the principle in Buddhism of right livelihood has been around for 2,500 years. So the principle that always there were these people who were conscious about the way that they conducted business in their community and in their world.
Tremendous question for me. Is business evolving, the conscious business as we're speaking of it? Are we going back to something that was more common in a previous era, or has it existed all along and we haven't been looking at it? I'm reminded of a TV series I've been watching recently, Deadwood, where you have this old West town that's forming communities slowly and painstakingly through a process of violence and discord. And at some point in time, the local bank is formed as a great service to the community. But who now could conceive of a bank being formed as a great service to the community?
When I think bank, I think $35 bounce check fees.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think that's starting to come back too. There's a whole movement of community banking where banks are being formed with this explicit goal in mind to support the community that they exist in, and sustainable banking. And you know, obviously social responsible investing is a huge movement.
That's true. And then there's microfinance as well, right, as a new trend.
Yeah, the microfinance movement is phenomenal.
You know, I wonder if we could drop down here for a second and talk about what the hell conscious means. You know, I just suddenly had this idea of like, we're talking about this as if we know what the hell it is, but I'm not sure that it's always a good question to come back to. What does it mean to you guys? What does conscious mean?
Well, I have an awareness of your question, but I'm not exactly conscious of it.
Yeah, it means a lot of different things, doesn't it? I mean, yeah, for me, it means awareness in general, but awareness of particular things too. And in the context of business, awareness of the social impact of a business, the environmental impact of a business, and the impact on the people who are working in the business, and their personal growth or their actualization as people, or tapping into their passions, not treating them as cogs in a machine or factory parts towards an end of maximizing profit. So that's some things it means to me.
That's interesting. Jean-Paul Sartre kicks off being a nothingness with consciousness is always consciousness of something. Mm-hmm. So when I think of raising consciousness or increases in consciousness, I think of increases in consciousness of some things.
Nice.
But there's also a way in which consciousness has always seemed to imply an internal awareness that the individual has of themselves, that this is a conscious person. It means they're a person who knows themselves in some sort of way. So when I put these two different conceptualizations of consciousness together into the conscious business, I think of a conscious business as a business that's aware of more and more things. It's aware of the individuals in it, aware of its culture, aware of more and more systems, aware of the external world. But it's also a business in which individuals are aware of themselves and their impact on others.
Yeah, that's good.
And how about you? When you think of conscious business or consciousness itself?
Something you said there really made it a hit with me, which is there's two parts of it. One is becoming conscious of who I am and what's important to me, my values. In other words, there's an internal synchronization, like between mind and body is one way we think about it. And then there's a synchronization or tuning into the world and being conscious of what's happening and what are the impacts of my actions in the world. So I'm making these products and these products are having these kinds of impacts. But you need both. You need that sort of internal synchronization. At the same time, you have that external synchronization. And I think they work hand in hand. What is it? Aldous Huxley's famous book, Cleansing the Doors of Perception. You know, the idea of really getting clear about what I'm actually seeing and recognizing that I can project on the world and I can sort of override what's actually going on with what I want to be going on. And so to be aware of that and be conscious of that and be careful to really try to see what's actually going on and be clear about that.
That just made me think of some other aspects of being conscious. One of them is having purpose, very clear, defined understanding of why you're doing what you're doing, intention. And another is paying attention. Is for a business, I could be taking in more metrics on various things, even as simple as like, are our advertising dollars being spent well? but all the way down to, are our employees happy? And how can we measure that? How can we really be sure? So taking in more and more data, more and more information as an individual and as an organization.
That's great. It really echoes one of the leading new theories that's coming out around organizations and change is a theory called Theory U. And it's being developed by Peter Senge and Otto Scharmer and Betty Sue Flowers and a number of people. And in Otto Scharmer's new book, Theory U, he actually talks about the quality of intention and attention. And it was exactly what you just said, Duff. You know, this idea that being clear about our motivations and our purpose, but at the same time, paying attention to what we're doing and really and being tuned into that level at the same time.
Well, I have to say, as I'm listening to you speak, both of you speak, and myself as well, I'm getting really excited about the possibilities of conscious business arising out of a sincere spiritual search. I'm aware that you're a longtime practitioner, Mark, of meditation. I don't know much about your background. I would love to hear about it and how it's brought you to the conscious business movement.
Oh, that's a great question. I just wrote a letter that recalled this particular incident in 1987. When was the Alaskan oil spill, the Valdez oil spill? Maybe it was 89. Anyway, I was working in a software company and we were doing GIS mapping software. And when the oil spill happened, it just so happened that the person who was brought in to track that spill had just been through our training and our software. And we saw the need and we immediately put our top programmer on an airplane and flew him to Alaska to work side by side with this biologist who was tracking the spill. And I just remember that I can still get the goosebumps of being in the right place at the right time to actually be able to make a difference. And that's when I realized that there weren't enough moments like that in my life going on in the current situation I was in, and I needed to find my way into some more of a livelihood that had more of those kinds of moments on a day-to-day basis. And that sort of led me into getting into this field.
Beautiful. There's something about having the awareness to notice those opportunities as well.
Yeah, well, that particular one hit us over the head pretty hard, so it was pretty hard to miss.
Life kind of does that sometimes too, huh?
Which is the great, you know, that's why this notion of opportunity and crisis is talked about a lot. Whenever there's something really intensely distasteful or awful going on, it's an opportunity for us to wake up, to see things with a fresh perspective and kind of jar us out of our sort of doldrums and do something different, which may be why these things are going hand in hand as we're facing more and more global climate change disasters and the incredible environmental disasters that are going on, et cetera, social disasters. That's going on while Theory U and these amazing people are doing this great work, and they're coming along together. And it's not an accident, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think the conscious business movement would be kicking off without a large-scale awareness of social and environmental global problems. Even movies like Al Gore's
Inconvenient Truth.
That's right. Forgot the name for a moment. It's an inconvenient name. But yeah, without this kind of global shift towards awareness of these problems, then there would have been no force or no push or no pull towards becoming more conscious in business.
In some ways, I see the conscious business movement as a culmination of baby boomers coming of age. It's just quite simple. This generation has pioneered developments in human consciousness, explorations in human consciousness, and social and environmental responsibility. And while it's taken some time for the leaders of activist movements to come into power as business people, it's been an eventuality that's occurred. And we're seeing now the fruits of their many, many years of explorations.
Yeah, so let me play the devil's advocate again, because this is all getting very nice and sort of idealistic, and I'm starting to hear the music, you know, fade in the background as the world is saved. But, you know, why aren't we doing more? You know, why isn't it really taking hold in a stronger way? Why is there a resistance? Even in NGOs and organizations that have these social missions, sometimes they treat their people who are engaged in these incredibly aspirational visions, they're treating their own people, you know, without health insurance and not paying them properly. So why isn't this thing moving faster?
Perfect question. I'm the co-founder of a visionary, idealistic institution, the Boulder Co-op Market, which recently went out of business. And as it went out of business, it put some people in a really difficult bind financially who'd loaned it money. but we had done more harm long before we put those people in harm financially. We had oftentimes very miserable employees working under a poor management system. We didn't treat our customers nearly as well as we could have, oftentimes creating a sort of anomie, alienation that was experienced where people expected a certain efficiency and fluidity in the flow of our business that we were unable to meet. Many other beautiful things occurred. Great education, great companies were promoted through it, health food companies. We built a wonderful community in so many different ways. But so many of our problems were the result of poor management, and people were miserable because of poor management.
Yeah, it's great that you can have the perspective of, we don't learn from success, right? We learn from failure. And so really, it would be an interesting exercise to get some of those people, maybe after a little bit of, some of the wounds have healed a little bit, and do some debriefing about what went wrong. You know, what were we missing in this picture?
It's perfect that you would point out this area, because in my own experience, if we don't have the business acumen, if we don't have the organizational skills, if we don't have the personal discipline and responsibility, our idealistic endeavors are going to make people miserable.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to that real change comes from adding something, not switching gears and doing something else. You have to add the mission, the values, the purpose, the people to the profit and the business skills and the accounting and all the boring stuff. And it's that marriage that makes conscious business. It's not doing something that neglects the fundamentals.
Yeah, this is actually, if I had to say, the crux of what the MARPA Center is about. It's about wrestling with this interior-exterior integration. Not so much that we're trying to resolve which one trumps the other, but actually how they really integrate in the human heart, you know, bringing those two kinds of motivation together to do well and to do things well, you know, is really important. And the namesake of the MARPA Center, MARPA, who was MARPA the translator in Tibet, we chose that name to name the MARPA Center after because he was a very high-level spiritual practitioner, but at the same time, he was a farmer and had a family. So I like to say that, you know, he was interested in the nature of reality, but he knew how to get the crops in on time. This kind of integration, I think, is really important.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that makes me think also of what we're attempting to do here at Falling Fruit, and time will tell whether we're successful. I think we will be, but that's the job of one of the founders of an organization, is to say, we're going to be totally successful. But we're attempting to integrate these really fundamental business practices with our heart and our passion and our intention to create a better world. And so far, we've experienced that it's extremely challenging at times to really wrestle with those two things. You have to make very difficult decisions, compromises in times. We're attempting to really hold that intention to merge the two.
Duff, this is what I think, getting back to Theo's question about my background, if I were to say anything that meditation has brought to my life, it's an appreciation for staying with difficulty and being able to hang in there. In a sense, the practice of working with your breath and actually just the discipline of coming back to the breath over and over and over again allows one to stay with things and not get knocked off your center and not bail out in the middle of a difficult situation, but hang in there and work with other people. Because, you know, naturally, when things get painful, we all want to just bail out and do something else. So I would say, and this has been echoed by other people, Steve Demos, who is the founder of White Wave, and his CFO, Pat Calhoun, gave a talk at the MARPA Center a few years ago and talked about how the discipline of meditation actually enabled them to stay with the discipline of their business, which included things like financial planning and accounting. The day-to-day disciplines, which seem boring and meaningless, but actually are very important to a business. And when they were bought out by a public company, they were both greeted with incredible surprise by the lawyers who were in the room, saying these were the cleanest set of financial books they'd ever seen from a private company, because they had done such a rigorous job of staying with that discipline. Mm-hmm. So I really think some kind of, whatever your way of working with yourself and synchronizing, as we had talked before, the mind and body, some kind of practice to help us do that is fundamental to being able to actually practice this or embody this in the organizations we're working with.
What a beautiful expression. What you're suggesting to me is that conscious business done well can be a path to becoming a whole human being. A whole human being in the best sense of being a leader who contributes to one's society in a meaningful way, as well as being a self-aware individual who treats well those around them and is immaculate in everything they do, or nearly immaculate in everything they do. And while we all might strive for and fail to reach this, the participation in a conscious business becomes an opportunity to really hone one's skills.
That's great.
And one thing I would add to that is the staying with it is really important to remember, especially for those who are listening to this program, who are starting conscious businesses, who have been in them before and who are burned out, or have been part of activist organizations or nonprofits that had ideal missions that didn't work, that those are learning opportunities that you can get bits and pieces of. Oh yeah, I was in that institution and what didn't work was, wow, the management didn't know what they were doing. Let's learn about management. Or we didn't do our books well, or we didn't do this or this or this, but we had these other things that were good. And continue to hold on to the things that are good and neither deny them nor deny the things that are still need to be learned.
Yeah, Duff, I really agree with that. And I think this notion that Pema Chodron talks about in some of her books, we need to start where we are and not think we read one book and then we're going to be successful. This is a long-term journey that we're on. And I love what you said, Theo, about thinking of this as a path. Conscious business is one of the many paths we can take as human beings to become fully who we are and to actually express ourselves in a way that both serves ourselves and the world at the same time.
Well, that's a really beautiful way of putting it. And I'm really happy that you are doing the work that you're doing and that we've kicked off these dialogues with an interview with you personally.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad to have met you, Mark, and I hope you'll come back for some future shows.
I think I'm going to come back and check in and see how you guys are practicing these principles.
Uh-oh.
All right. Well, so much for that. So thank you, and we'll see you again.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
For commentary and information on my conscious coaching, life, and leadership services, check out ReframeAmerica.com.